Stop Child Abuse Now show on the Blog Talk Radio Network, sponsored by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Bill Murray, and I'm running the show tonight for our host, who is here with me, Carol D. Levine. She's fearful that her power might go out, but she is scheduled to be the host, so we're going to have her host, and I'm going to just push the buttons for her. But let me, without further ado, introduce Carol Levine, and I want to let her know that Michelle Bless is here, Penelope is here from Washington, and Roberta is here from Oklahoma. So, Carol, I'm going to open your mic, let you take it away, and you host the show. Good evening.
Okay. Good evening. Thank you so much, Bill. Yeah, it went out four times, and I don't think it's coming back on today. So I'm sitting here with candlelight all over. That's kind of nice. It's kind of relaxing, actually. And but I do have my alarm on. Yes, I do. And I have a backup on that. So if anyone tries to get in, it'll still go off. Okay. So I'm really glad that everybody showed up tonight. This is great. Kind of strange situation for me. But our guest tonight, our co-host guest tonight, is going to be Michelle Bless. She's from Cincinnati, Ohio. She is our pastor. She's an author. She's her book is called Out of the Darkness. And the Michelle Bless story. And she's also been into the prison ministries. She's done all different kinds of street work. And she is, above all, she is a survivor. Michelle, hello. Can you hear me?
You, Carol. Hello, everybody.
Okay. I'm so glad you can hear me. Yeah, it's very strange sitting here with candles all over the place. I feel like I'm back in the 70s or something. I don't know. Oh, my God. But does anyone have a topic tonight that they'd like to discuss?
Actually, I do.
Okay, go ahead. Take it away.
For the past week, I've been dealing with calls. From people coming in, they've been dealing with a lot of depression because of the COVID. A little bit of the COVID, but mainly being a victim of child abuse and being isolated, which caused them to be really, really depressed. And they were calling in asking me, you know, how to cope with it, how to deal with it, because the depression really put them in a state of having a lot of suicide thoughts. So I'm just throwing it out there for something to talk about. You know, if no one else don't want to, that's fine. You know, you can go ahead and pick something, but I just thought I'd throw that out there as a topic. That would be an open topic, you know.
Well, you know what? I tell you what, there's a lot of people that are depressed right now. And I even had a bout of it. Me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had a bout of it a couple of days ago. I was feeling really down. And I tend to spend too much when I do that. So I had to, like, tie my hands almost to keep me in the house because, quite frankly, I didn't want to go out and spend money. Because we might all need our money. I don't know. None of us know what's going to be going on, you know, a month from now, 2 months from now, and everything, you know. So you just don't go out. Everything has changed, Michelle, everything. And I had hired this guy to do my driveway, you know, to work on my driveway, and he couldn't because he's going to start school tomorrow, mm-hmm. but it's going to, you know, be not open school. It's going to be online. And let mm-hmm. me tell you something. There's a lot of students that are really, really feeling very depressed right now, too. And mm-hmm. because they want to go to school, they want to. They want to get out of the house. They want life to go back to what it was before. And we all do. We all do.
True. True.
And you know, we look all over the place, man. You know, on the TV, and to see what areas are closed down. You can do that on the internet as well. What areas are mm-hmm. opening, and. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, thankfully, New Jersey, I think maybe New York and Pennsylvania, you know, it's like, that's like tri-state almost. The three states are together. The COVID isn't horrible as bad as it was. It has gone down. The big fear is that if you have everything go back to normal and people are just walking around, not using masks or even going to stores that way, whatever, that it'll go mm-hmm. back to where it was. And this is what is scaring people. And they can't work. A lot of them don't have work. A lot of businesses, especially the mom-and-pop stores and other things, have closed down. And monies have been allocated to some of these, you know, stores. But as long as there's this COVID around, they're going to continue to open and close and open and close and open and close because, you know, because people might get sick again.
Yeah, I absolutely noticed for, like I said, the past week of the high rise of depression because of the isolation of not getting out. And half of the calls were, you know, some of the victims that are not in the survivor mode as we are. For mm-hmm. child abuse, and they, you know, had a lot of thoughts of suicide. That's absolutely in the high rise right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel, you know, I suggested for them to, you know, what is it that gives them a sort of peace or calm in their life while they're at home? You know, and I had a few who would say, you know, well, I like to, you know, what is that? This one lady I spoke to knit. She said, well, I like mm-hmm. to knit. And matter of fact, she called me earlier this morning and she said, I knitted a basket full of stuff. I knitted some gloves. I knitted some blankets. I said, good. She said she just started knitting and she realized she just kept knitting and she ended up making blankets and stuff. And I said, just keep doing that. She said, and she realized as she was knitting, it gave her peace. And it gave her calm. She wasn't having all those thoughts of, you know, her childhood. And I said, see, there you go. That's what you want to do. Just keep doing that. Just keep doing that. And then she said, well, you know, Michelle, the good thing is at least I can at least go to the store and buy more yarn. I said,
there you
right.
go.
Yeah,
there you go.
You know, and I had another person. I asked them, I said, again, the same question. What is it that would... you know, that would give you, you know, calmness, that would, you know, distract you from, you know, thinking about, you know, the, you know, or taking you back into that dark place. And they were saying, well, I like to paint, you know. And I said, well, why don't you go and, you know, go into your little space and paint, you know. And they said, well, you know, can you stay on the phone? I'm going to take you with me. Let me go in my little room I have and paint. And so they got to paint, you know, and I was on the phone with them for like 3 hours, you know. You know what? They got into that space of calmness, and they were feeling okay. So I just want to say on the air or whoever's in the chat room or listening that, you know, whatever your mojo is, whatever that thing is that give you that piece of calmness, go ahead and dive into that, you know, and get into that relaxed mode. You know, I had someone ask me, what does it for you? For me, actually, it's actually helping people, being a listening ear. But I will go ahead and say what really does it for me besides that is I like to create, I like to write. So I do a lot of journaling. You know, I write a lot of poems and plays, you know, short stories and stuff like that. So I've been doing that. That gives me my peace and calm besides doing The work that I do as far as helping others, my downtime when I'm not out ministering or when I'm not on the phone, on a crisis hotline, I do have
right.
an idea of writing. So, yeah.
Well, that's good, Michelle. Hold on a second. Someone's breathing really heavy into the phone, so watch your breathing. I don't know what to
sorry.
Say.
Sorry
yeah, I can't get here. That's better. Maybe they... You didn't stop breathing, did you? Okay. But anyway, it's very, very important. It's very, very important for people to really look into themselves and find something. Because a lot of people, maybe they're not a painter, okay? I'm very much into music. I'm walking around the house and I'm singing my ass off. That's what I'm doing. I'm just singing and singing and singing because I love to sing. And, but then there comes a time during the course of day that I get even more hoarse than usual, right? I'm singing so much. And then I think, now what am I going to do, you know? So I do go out and I do take rides. I don't even have to go to anyone's house just to go out and get out or go out and walk. I was always very athletic when I was a kid. I'm not as athletic now. I've got too many bumps and bruises. But the point is I get out and I take walks, and then I get back to the house and just get busy doing other things. But, you know, it's amazing because what you're saying is so true because, you know, you start to get in touch more with self. And if you do have a hobby, and I pray that you do, you know, you can get into your hobby. And, yes, it does give you peace. It does give you peace. And, you know, we're so, before all this happened with the COVID and all the other garbage that's going on, before all this happened, we would run around and go outside, do all kinds of things. And our hobbies sort of like took like a back seat. You know what I'm saying? Like you're talking about the lady, she started to knit again. You're talking about someone else, they started to paint and you paint also. When was the last time you picked up a paintbrush before this came about, you know what I'm saying? So we can get back in touch with the talents that we do have, and everyone has something they can do, okay? And then there's always I do ask people to check in on the homebound. You know, if there's people who are homebound and you know this, you don't have to go in their house, okay? Wear a mask. But it's a good thing to go to their house and just see if they're all right. Check on them. Maybe you can go to the store for them or something, you know. There's people that do need help, you know. And so there is a lot of depression. And I don't know what the stats are now, and we can't always go by the stats. It can give you an idea because the stats aren't always correct. But we do know that the statistics have gone way up for people who are committing or have, I'm sorry to say this, but they have committed suicide. Yes. There's more of that going on. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure,
maybe there's somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is there anyone else here? Any other panelists here?
I don't know. I can't.
It's Penelope Bennett. I'm on.
You have
Hi,
Roberta
Carol.
And you have Penelope, Carol.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, who is just starting to speak?
Hey, Carol, it's Penelope Bennett. Hi.
Oh, hi, honey. Yeah, I'm in the dark except for my candles, so nothing seems real right now.
I'm sorry you're in the dark. See, that's what the benefit is of being over here on the West Coast in Washington. It's still sunny over here because it's 5:15 at night, so
yeah.
Plus we have our electricity too, so
we take for granted. You see that? All the things we take for granted, you take them away. Oh, honey. All right, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, you know, bringing up the subject of, you know, being in this time right now and depression, anxiety, and, you know, one thing I've noticed is not for myself so much, but I still have two teenage sons in high school living at home. And being in Bellevue, Washington, or Seattle, you know, we've also had the CHOP zone and a lot of protesting. And as you know, we had protesters take over part of our city.
Mm-hmm.
And so my sons have a heightened state of anxiety. And they feel that there's a civil war coming, and they feel the need to protect themselves. And they've been they have been asking their father and myself to provide them with, you know, the family to lock up some guns, but to get some guns and ammunition so they can protect themselves. And, you know, living in fear. And I have worked so hard, you know, through therapy and everything else to break the cycle. I grew up living in fear and never, ever wanted my children to grow up living in fear because of what that manifests. So maybe I am a little bit, I don't know if it's anxious or depressed, and sorry, I have boys walking in because it's dinner time and sports time. So you might hear some background noise, and I apologize. But maybe I do, because I don't know. I feel like I've had so many tools now from all the work that I've done on how to, you know, break the cycle and manage things that are within my control. But I feel that what's going on with the election coming up, with COVID, with what's going on in Seattle, I don't have control. And I do feel some helplessness because I don't know what to do. You know, I've tried to reassure them and taking control of what I can control. I just can't control the unknown. So I am feeling a little bit out of sorts, I think, just because, you know, I don't have the answers and I really don't know what to do.
Well, you know, with the COVID deal, none of us have the answers. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, and but we do have the experts trying to work on that as fast as they can. And they don't know what they're dealing with because it's invisible, all right? It's not like regular wars, okay? And so, but they're doing the best that they can. And what we can do is protect ourselves. What we can do is self-care, you know, washing our hands more frequently. I know people are getting so sick and tired of hearing that. But let me tell you something. I believe in gargling with Listerine. Oh, God. But I gargle with Listerine. Oh, man. And I don't know why, but to me it tastes like rum. And I used to hate rum, but I don't know. But that's just me. And scotch. I didn't like that either. But anyway, for some reason, I believe if we keep our mouth really clean, you know, by gargling 2-3 times a day and washing our hands and just being a little more mindful, certainly, of showering every day. And using, you know, lots of cleaning, you know, soap, you know, that's about all we can do. And certainly wear your mask when you go into stores. The stores are dirty. Think about when you go in the grocery store, all the people that have touched the carriage before you have, you know, things like that. So you can always wear gloves, though. You can, even if you have a good pair of gloves, I don't care, use that. As far as the Civil War thing that you're speaking about, I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't think so. Because, and I don't mean this in a bad way about Democrats, but I'm just saying that a lot of people who were Democrats are now coming to the Republican side because they don't like the fact that where they're living, there is all the terror in the streets. And you see, that's up to the governors to allow. To allow for the National Guard to come in. And what the heck is wrong with them that they don't? Okay? So people are getting turned off because businesses are being, you know, ruined and all this other stuff. People are being, you know, shot. And if you take the guns away, okay, then only the bad guys are going to have the guns because they always know where to get them, okay? So it's always the person behind the weapon that you have to worry about, not the weapon. It's who's pulling the trigger. So I feel like the National Guard is something that is very much needed. And I have seen a lot of whites with blacks. I've seen a lot of blacks with whites, even with the protesters or even the so-called quiet protesters. It doesn't matter what the color is, okay, because they're all working together. No, I don't believe there's going to be a civil war. I don't believe that. And I think that it's okay, but then this is only me speaking, okay, because I grew up around guns. We had hunters in the family, so I'm very used to guns. But, you know, I think it's okay for people to protect themselves, whoever they are. We have that right. And for God's sake, don't shoot anybody in the back, because that means they were running away from you. Okay? You have to get them when they're running towards you, because that shows that you're in trouble, possibly. Okay? So I think that people have to calm down a little bit. We don't have any say over the political parties. They're making asses out of themselves, okay, in plain English. And you don't say to someone who's out on the street homeless and hungry, Michelle and I know too much about that, just feed them ice cream out of a $24,000 refrigerator. I thought I was going to barf, okay?
Wow.
And that's what Pelosi said. Yeah, and it's well known. It's been all over the TV. Mentalities like that are dangerous, and it's ugly, and it's stupid. Okay, and it does no good for anyone. That's their problems. They have to come together somehow, some way, and sit down and make sense. So there's no sense in any of us, you know, sitting around and worrying about it, because we can't change it. We can't change them, okay? I know who I'm voting for. You know who you're voting for. I have my reasons. I like tough people. Let's leave it at that. And sensible people. Sensible people, okay? All right? So that's my choice. But, you know, I understand the fear and the anguish that people are going through. But I also do know that people are so tired of all this horror that's going out and on in the streets that I don't think that any civil war would take place. They just want to find peace themselves.
Okay, Carol, do we have another person, another panelist out there?
Yes, we do. And let's bring her on. Penelope. I haven't met you yet, Penelope. No, I have not. But I'm glad you're here tonight. And how do you feel about all of this?
Well, you know, as I just commented, I mean, I'm feeling okay. I feel, you know, I can control what I can control. I'm not worried about, I think there's going to be a vaccine for COVID. I think, you know, looking at the actual numbers that were just disseminated by the CDC of actual COVID deaths versus reported COVID deaths with patients with comorbidities, I don't feel, my family does not, I don't feel ill at ease about it. I don't feel ill at ease about the wars I mentioned. I'm feeling calm. I have faith. I have faith that everything's going to be okay. I don't think we're going to have a civil war. I'm with you.
I don't think so.
To go get back to normal. My, I guess, what's taking up my mental capacity, some of my mental brain capacity is just, you know, worrying about the impact on my kids, both what I can observe and what I, you know, what I'm unable to observe because they can't even articulate it for themselves, just whatever's going on internally. So, you know, and that's something that, you know, I can only control so much. So, but overall, I'm doing okay in terms of, I think, my own stress level around the issues that you just discussed. But one thing I have noticed, any other of my NAFTA families noticed this, but my flashbacks to my childhood abuse, specifically the sexual abuse, it's come back. I'm having them more often. I don't know why.
It is because of all the stress. My lights, now don't anyone hold their breath, just came back on. Hallelujah.
And, right, Carol,
yes.
I need to tell you that the other person that's on the panel tonight is Roberta, who's in Oklahoma.
Oh, Roberta, I'm sorry.
You haven't spoken
God.
To her yet. But I also, before you go there, I want you to know that Penelope is one of us. She actually trails for Charlie on Wednesdays. But she's a regular trailer now, and someday maybe we'll host. But she is one of us, and she's been on many shows so far in the last couple of months. So
okay.
I want to introduce the two of you, since you didn't know who she was.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No, I've been It's nice to meet you. And, you know, I'm coming on more now, okay, especially because there's a big need. And I can't go out there and feed the homeless right now, not in the cities. I'm not going there. I'm not stupid. All right. So, you know, I don't know if anyone will go with me right now even. But I'm glad to have you aboard. We both are. Bill and I are delighted that you're here. And let me get to Roberta because I don't want her to feel left out. And then we'll get back to Michelle.
I'm going to have to unfortunately probably get off in a few minutes. I've got to take a child to basketball practice, but I want to call in at least for some of the show.
Okay.
So thank you for allowing me to participate.
Hey, thank you very much, Penelope. You
thank
know
you, honey.
We have. Thank you very much, Penelope. We really appreciate it.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Good night now for you. All right, Roberta. Roberta, honey, I'm sorry. I'm not in front of the studio, so I can't see who's there. And you know what? My lights came on the last time for only 10 minutes, so I might only have another 10 minutes. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad y'all are here, and I'm glad that I called in tonight. Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad you did, too. And I'm not blowing my candles out yet. It's too early. So how do you feel? How do you feel about all of this?
Yeah.
Well, I just got to thinking about, you know, a lot of things you were saying, and even how, you know, in past experiences in my life, and I was thinking about where there was one time I was so depressed and I didn't want to kill myself, and I tried to, and you know, I had to stay in the hospital like 3 months, and that was back whenever I was like probably 16 or 17 or something like that, and maybe a little, well, yeah, something like that, and that was years and years and years ago, and I don't think one of my family members ever forgave me, you know, but you know, I finally, you know, I know I'm forgiven, you know, I had to forgive myself, and you know, and I'm having to forgive myself for a lot of things right now, and I'm having a hard time. Because all my life I've always been pushed and guided by people that just want to make a fool of me or laugh at me or do things, mean things just to make fun of me, you know. And I don't understand that sometimes, and it hurts, you know.
Yes,
and,
it does.
I mean, it started at an early age, and then it lasted for years and years and years. And I'm thinking, well, you know, and then they want to play on my fears, and I'm thinking, well, then they have strategies and tactics of ways to take advantage of me. And I'm saying, well, you know, you know, it can only go on for so long, you know. But I've been praying, and I believe something good will come about. But it already is, because I got to move back to my home state, and everything's, you know, I'm able to just, you know, feel at home again where, you know, I mean, really, I never had a home, but, you know, I feel at home again as in a sense where I'm deeper into my healing than I've ever been in my whole life, you know, where I feel confident and I have the courage to heal now, and never in my life did I even take notice that I ever had a need to courage to heal, because I was always playing these games with everybody else, you know, and you know, so... You know, and plus I always reacted and, you know, overreacted sometimes. But, you know, I have gone through depression, and I'm not really depressed lately, but sometimes I get down and I get sad. And, you know, but I get back up and, you know, I guess, you know, like, you know, I was unpacking some boxes and one thing out of the box, you know, was a puzzle I had put together, a small puzzle of a castle. And all the pieces were there except for one piece, and that made me so sad. You know, I'm thinking, why is that one piece missing? You know, and I think of all the things missing in my life. You know, it's been missing in my life, and you know, and everything in my childhood that was robbed from me and taken from me, and you know, and these people, you know, a lot of it was family, and I'm thinking, well, you know, it's like people are supposed to love you, but you know, I did have some love from some of my family, but not. Not the ones I wanted love from the most, you know.
But, right.
You know, Carol, I guess.
I'm going to let Michelle answer her. Go ahead. Yeah.
Let me let you know that Darlene is also here, and I opened her mic. So
oh, she
you
is?
Have,
okay.
Penelope is about to leave. And by the way, just let me make a comment on Penelope's question about more flashbacks or more reaction and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true. I think I'm having more difficulty sleeping. I find it difficult to sleep more than 3 hours at a time. And then I wake up, and then I have trouble falling back to sleep because of all the stuff that's in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a regular pattern now, and I want to break that pattern because I'd like to sleep, you know, 6 or 7 hours in a row, you know, like a normal
mm-hmm.
sleep. But anyway, just to verify for Penelope that she's not going crazy, it does happen to us. And then I'll get off now, but don't forget, Darlene is
thank
here
you.
Too. Okay, Carol?
Okay, sweetie. Thank you. All right. Well, you know, I tell you what, we should, I want Michelle to address, you know, to address Roberta. And the reason being is because Roberta is a very, very spiritual, very person that's very much, you know, God, into God, and I am too. And so, of course, Michelle. I mean, the three of us right there. And so is Darlene now, I think. We all have this strength inside of us. And but sometimes we do need a little guidance as to, you know, to bring it back and to put it into proper perspectives. And so, Michelle, what do you have to say to Roberta? You're our pastor.
Well, first of all, before I answer, I'm sorry, but I missed the exact question, so I need to hear the question again.
Okay.
I heard the response. I heard her talking, but I didn't get the question.
I don't think she actually had a question. I think
what
she's talking. I think that, and this is important, and Darlene will understand too. With Roberta, she is going through trying to put her life back together. She has moved back to the state that she came from, and
mm-hmm.
She's looking for the last piece, if you will, to a puzzle of her life that is really, really, really bringing her down. And she does suffer from all different kinds of depression at times. And
mm-hmm.
but she's trying to get her life back in order, and she has a lot of questions about her life. She was very abused, okay, as a child, and she doesn't. Yeah, and
mm-hmm.
she's trying to understand why people would even do that to her. So maybe you can have a little talk with her, and then we'll get to Darlene.
I would say this is. I'll just use me as an example. For me. You know, I had a lot of questions because I couldn't understand. First, it was like, why me? Why did this happen to me? And I'll just say this, you know, when I was talking to God, like, why all this happened to me? Why did you allow all this to happen to me? And what I find for me now, Darlene, is this. I never, first of all, I don't try to force a lot. I don't try to force memory, like try to remember everything. I just deal with what comes up in memory. And how I deal with it is like I just write it down. If I'm not able to write it down and it just come at me, I just sink it in. I just look at what's coming. And whatever I'm feeling at that moment, I allow myself to feel. For example, when I was a little girl, I was never allowed to cry. If I cried, I got punched in the mouth or I got slapped or I got thrown. I mean, seriously, you know. My abusers would do that to me. And so when I became an adult and I allowed myself, when I went through this healing process and I went and got therapy, and, I mean, she said pillows, you know, and gave me pillows to tear up and, you know, and told me, now you want to scream. You know you want to scream because I was never allowed to scream. I was never allowed to cry. And I decided to do those things. And it was such a relief for me because I was always told, shut up, be quiet, or no one's going to believe you. I was told that at such a young age, and I believed that for so long. So whenever I start remembering things or when I have dreams and remembering, you know, in the dreams, I allow myself to cry. If I'm angry, I allow myself to be angry because I was never allowed to be angry, you know. So I allow myself to be angry. I allow myself to scream if I needed to scream. I allow myself to cry. If I want to punch something, I went ahead and punched. Yes, I did,
mm-hmm.
you know. And doing that gave me, I'm speaking just for me, it gave me such a release. That's the only way I can explain it. I felt so much better gradually in that journey, in the days and weeks and months and years of doing that. Yes, for me, days, weeks, months, and years that I had to do that. And it made me feel so much better because I took back that control. I took back the control that my abusers had on me. I took that back. I didn't have to be quiet anymore. I didn't have to be silent. I allowed that little Michelle to cry. It's okay. Go ahead and cry. It's okay. Go ahead and yell. Go ahead and scream. Go ahead and shout. Go ahead and hit the wall. Go ahead and tear that pillow. That made me feel better. And then when I went through that season of that, and then I had all these questions. Why did this happen to me? Why me? And I couldn't understand that. So I had to surrender to God and to allow God to show me why I had to go through those things. So what I would say to you on a spiritual side is to allow God to show you why. And he will, but that's only if you allow him to show you. That is the best way I can describe that to you. But I guarantee, if you hear my words, I guarantee he will show you. And if you allow him to show you, he will ease that pain. And he will help you with your pain. And he will give you an understanding. He will.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just haven't really gotten, you know, I'm just really decided about 2 or 3 months ago that I wanted to have the courage to heal and not to live in fear. And so I'm taking back my power, you know, and control. And you know, I'm getting away from people that were, you know, my abusers. And I'm getting further and further away from them. And so now, you know, I'm starting therapy up again. And so I don't know, you know, it's like when things come up now, you know, a lot of times I just don't even think about it. Like if something comes up, a memory or something reminds me of something, I don't even think about it. But that kind of reminds me whenever I was young, when I was being abused. I just spaced out, you know. I just like, you know, spaced out, you know, and numb myself and covered it up. And like, you know, just pretend like it wasn't even happening, you know, or something, you know, and no matter how painful it was, you know,
you allow yourself.
But I'm glad where I'm at, and I'm glad to hear what you had to say, and thank you.
Okay.
So let me ask you something. Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I don't want to leave her there. I don't want to leave her right there.
I hear you. Go ahead.
So let me ask you something real quick, Darlene. So now, because you said something, and I was in that place for many, 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 many years, you said that when you start getting memories and they're painful memories, you said that you act like it didn't happen. Because I did that. I lived that for like 20-something years, really. So I'm asking, like, right now, when you get those memories, do you act like they didn't happen? Like you just put it aside? You may believe it didn't happen.
Well,
you don't allow yourself.
I don't act like they didn't happen. It's just that I'm not ready to address them, you know, because I'm too angry. I mean, I've got so much anger that I went through a lot of years of oppression and abuse and threats, and a lot of things was robbed and taken from me, and they still feel like they're justified, you know, and even losing 3 babies and these people that think they had, they're justified in killing them, you know? And it hurts, you know? And I've got anger. I've got so much anger. But I also got pain and grief, too, you know? And it's not all going to happen in one day, the healing process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so glad that you're here. And I remember you from several shows before. And I just want to say to you that all of us truly understand where you're coming from, because we all, I'm talking about Brother Bill, I'm talking about Carol, I'm seriously, we all know exactly where you are right now. We've been right where you are right now. And it's a key thing you said, it's not going to happen overnight. So don't force yourself. When you're ready, you know when you're ready. And just know that God will be there waiting for you when you're ready. And, of course, we are all here as your sisters and brothers. We're right here with you. But because it's not going to work. It's not going to work if you force it. So just do it when you're ready, honey.
I'm going to be going to the mental health place next week and for a screening. And so I'll be starting therapy probably within the next 2 months.
That is really good. That is excellent.
Okay,
yes.
Michelle, honey, this is Roberta. We haven't gotten to Darlene yet.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but that,
I'm sorry.
Hey,
That's the name's wrong. I'm sorry.
No,
hey, Roberta. Okay.
I got something to say about that. I got something to say about that, okay?
Okay.
Well, all of a sudden, I had a flashback at the same time when she was talking, and it was devastating. Like there was a shed, like a garage thing, and then they ended up pulling up the floorboards, and then I seen some dead bodies under there. And then all of a sudden you say, Darlene, it's okay with the memories and stuff, and I'm like, okay, I'm coming back. Thank you. Thank you so much. I think God got you to say that, because right then I was having a flash.
Oh, okay.
See
okay.
that, Michelle?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I want to say something here with Roberta, okay? If you ever need to speak to Michelle, okay, and you want to speak on, religious and other type of levels.
You saw me anytime.
Yeah. Now listen, I need to give her a little direction here. On the contact page, all right? Yeah, on the contact. You look in the front, the website, www.NASCA, you know what that is, NASCA, NAASCA.org, right, NASCA.org.
Okay.
It gives a list of things, and it says contact us, okay? Contact. go on there. Okay, go there, and Michelle is on there, is my point. All right. Okay, and then that way you'll be able to speak to her, and you might find that helpful too. And you can call me anytime, you know that. But I'm just saying, it would be good.
Day or night.
And you can call me.
Thank you very much. I'm so grateful y'all are here. Thank you. Because whenever I was young, I had so much fear. I would sleep. I still sleep with the light on. But, where these apartments were moved, they got a light right outside my window, so I don't have to worry about putting the light on at night now.
I know.
I'm going to tell you why I say that. When I was ready, it was my therapist who gave me her personal number, because she said, this journey is going to be so rough that you're going to wake up in the middle of night. It can be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I want you to know I'm going to be there. I said, why do you want to do that? Because she realized I had nobody. I had no one on this earth, no one for me. And this woman, she's asked me if I don't share that she gave me her personal, that she would be there. She walked this journey. And hearing you, it just took me back. It just took me back, so broken, and I had nobody. And I'm telling you right now on live radio that I want you to go on the website. I want you to get my phone number, because when you are ready, I'm here. I don't care day or night. I will walk this thing with you, okay?
Yes.
Well,
I just want you to know. Well, all of us,
thank
don't
you.
Get me wrong, we all are here. But I'm saying, like, you might wake up in the middle of a freaking nightmare, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. I keep my phone by my ear. I'm just saying.
Well, I came back here to Oklahoma City, and the other day I went to the dollar store, and it's like this man started talking, and then he started talking about heroin, and I'm saying, wait just a minute, did these people in my childhood, did they shoot me up with heroin, or did they give me, you know, because there was some kind of drug sex, and you know, in the rape, it was never reported, you know, a lot of it, you know, in different places, you know, a lot of things were done. That haven't, a lot of things haven't, I don't even know a lot of it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Michelle is there, okay, and I want to give Darlene one more time, okay, sweetheart? I want to give Darlene, Darlene needs to, maybe she has something she'd like to ask her or talk about. Go ahead, Darlene. Are you there?
Just as you said that, her call got dropped.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay. Well,
she might call back. When she does, I'll let you know. But right now, you still have Michelle and you still have Roberta.
Okay, now that's fine. Well, you know what it is. Everyone is so hyped right now because there's so many problems in the world. But you have to remember, you know, that this too shall pass. All right, it will pass. It's taken a long time, I admit it. And we don't want any more of this. We're all tired of it. We're tired of hearing about the terrorists. We're tired of seeing all the destruction out on the street. We're tired of being afraid of, contracting the COVID virus. I call it a pandemic. I call it sometimes the plague because there's so many people that are involved, all different countries, too. I mean, you know, this is ridiculous. But on the other hand, there is some good that came out of it because some people, not all people, but some people are looking out, you know, for other people, and they're trying to help, and they're trying to be available. I've seen it around me. I know people that are doing it. And so we have learned to be more compassionate towards those that are needy, and that's an important thing. Okay, so a lot of us are becoming more compassionate, and even the groups out there, like I can't say all of them, but like Neighborhood Watch, they're much more out there. I see them. And of course, the Guardian Angels are out there. They got bopped in the head and all over the place in New York City. That was terrible, horrifying, made me very mad. But the point is, they're out there on the streets, okay, and they're trying to help. And we're going to have the Guardian Angels and Easton come on soon. That won't be until November, but they'll be on. They'll have a lot to say. I'm friendly with them, and I've spoken to them, so we will get that arranged. But anyway, the point is this. Maybe some good is coming out of all this horror, because that's what it is. It's horror, okay? The fact that we're looking, you know, to try and be more helpful as a people, as a society, because society for too many years has just been ice cold towards each other. And if they saw someone, I saw someone get stabbed, and I'm screaming, help, help for this person. And people are just walking by, they don't care, okay? We can't live in a society if we're going to have people who are so uncaring. And so maybe this we'll learn a lesson from all of this when it is over. I think that those of us who have, you know, I don't have this anymore. Once in a great while, I'll have a nightmare, and I just get mad at it, curse at it, and it goes away. That's just the way I am, you know. But there are people, many people out there who have had, you know, flashbacks, have had problems, are looking for programs. And that's where Michelle and I both, too, come in because we are the night owls, you know. They call us and ask for help. And
me, too.
Go ahead.
Me too. Me three.
I'm doing you too. Oh, you're back again. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, I just got my battery died, so I had to plug it in.
Oh,
plug it in real good. It's 3% right now, so if it cuts off again, y'all know why.
Well, you know, that might happen with me, and my lights might go off again. And this is crazy, but we're having a good show anyway, so it doesn't matter. So,
can I say something right quick?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. I seen the how on YouTube earlier they were talking about narcissists.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying how one of the things a narcissist looks for to pick out in the person to do is first they want to get to know their fears and stuff, and then
mm-hmm.
That's when they go back and attack them, you know, just to try to belittle them or make yourself bigger.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah,
so
well,
Roberta was talking about that earlier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about that, like, why is it happening? It's because these narcissists try to think and bully. They love to bully.
That's right.
But,
I came
you know,
from a family like that. I understand that.
Yeah. And so, you know how, and I really think that I'm here intentionally from, you know, too, because what we deal with that I'm here on Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like I told you, my real name's really not Darlene. That's my author name. But my real name, you know, it means God's gracious gift. My
mm-hmm.
parents always told me that I was a mistake. I was a mistake even to God. And then I mm-hmm. laugh at it because my name means God's gracious gift. And
that's
I
beautiful.
Said, look at that oxymoron.
That's beautiful, Darlene. That's beautiful. I like that.
Yeah, I do
yeah.
too. I do too.
You are God. Yes, you are. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say, and I won't talk anymore after this, but I just wanted to say, you know, it's kind of different from what you're talking about now, but the thing that happened all my life when people would help me, you know,
mm-hmm.
anyone, even
mm-hmm.
even certain members of my family that I was close to. When anyone
mm-hmm.
would try to help me, they'd be given a hard time, or
mm-hmm.
someone would harass them, or you know what I'm saying? And that's
mm-hmm.
happened all my life. If anyone's ever tried to help me, they've either been non-family, you know, they got in trouble for it, or they just were only here temporary, you know. And I mean, It's kind of like whenever I was threatened one time, there's not a damn thing you do about it, no witnesses. You know, you're
mm-hmm.
working against mine. It's like, where have all these, you know, it's like, you know, it's like if it was a court of justice, you know, you're not supposed to hurt the witnesses. You're not supposed to hurt people that help you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I just don't understand that sometimes, why when there's so many good people out there wanting to do help and then some of these authorities, they get in the way or they say it's wrong for you to help or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Go ahead, Michelle.
No.
Okay.
I was just saying, I was agreeing with her.
Okay, then, Darlene,
I
heard you.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm thinking when she's saying all this, it's like, we got your back now. We won't back down now. It's going to be different. We're here for you, girl. We're here for you now, you know. Let them come with us. We got a backbone.
Yes,
yeah, God,
we do.
God, I mean, someone told me one time, God's got your back, you know, and if God be for me, who can be against me, you know?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's what it says. But, you know, sometimes it seems like they're against you because sometimes they overpower. But we always have to remember, even when we're in that situation, because that happens to all of us, you know, because there are so many bullies, there are so many people out there that are, I call them evil. I know Bill does, too. He calls them evil, too. I think they're evil. There are evil people out there. We're going to find a way because God doesn't give us more than what we can't handle, okay, one way or another. So, you know, and even if it's bringing people together. Now, tonight on this show, you know, we've come closer together. I just met Penelope. I didn't know her at all. And it doesn't matter how far along you are in the healing journey, because at times even those of us that are far in on the healing journey, we too can get triggered. We can, you know. And but one good thing about that is the more time that you have on the healing journey, when something happens, whatever it might be, that triggers you, you get over it much faster, okay, because you're stronger. And you know what? When they say there's strength in numbers, that's true, too, because it can be a positive thing, because we do have NASCA. We do have people we can call. And like Darlene said, we can, you know, we have a toughness about us. We have a backbone. And we can, you know, we can reach out to each other and help each other. And we are strong people because we are still standing, you see. We are still standing. Go ahead.
I do want to add something that that I feel that can help the listeners and anyone in the chat room.
Yeah.
Whenever you get a flashback or you have a dream or you're awake and you start, you know, getting thoughts of what happened to you as a child from sexual child abuse, and it gets overwhelming, or, you know, you start panicking, getting the shakes, and you don't want to think about it. What I do when that happens for me, the first thing I say is, you know what, as an adult, Michelle, I would say, I'm little Michelle's protector now, and I'm going to fight for her. So I'm going to make myself see this. But she's not alone anymore because I'm fighting for her.
That's right.
You know, some people will say that's a third party. Call it whatever you want to call it, but it works. It works for me.
You know what?
I had, go ahead.
This is weird what worked for me, because a couple of years I was raped again, a couple of years ago, and it was a bit much for me, and I was thinking, I didn't want this to ever happen to me again. I thought for sure this would not happen to me again, you know? And I was so mad and everything, and I was shaky and scared. And I didn't call the police because I don't trust the police, because they never protected me before. So I didn't call the police or anything, but there was just so much conflict in my mind and in my heart and all this, you know? And I said, I can't deal with it. And I said, well, I'm going to give it to God. And I just, you know, tightened up my whole body, said, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it all to you, all this pain and everything. And that, when I felt like I was exhausted and stuff, you talk about, I don't even feel any more pain about
it. You can say that. You say also, I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying to give it to God, but you can also say to yourself, the big person who I am, like I said, the Michelle that I am now, as an adult, is going to protect that little girl. Is going to protect that little girl. Just say that out loud and watch what happens. You're going to feel something different. Like Brother Bill. Haven't heard from you, Brother Bill.
I don't know if
Brother
he's on
Bill.
The line.
You know, my intention was to let you guys, you know, run the show as you normally do without interference. But if you want me to comment, I'm happy
like
to.
I would love that.
Well, there's been an awful lot of topics that have been thrown out here. I think the bottom line for everybody who's on the panel tonight, everybody's on the show tonight, is we all witness to the effect that our spiritual life has had a tremendous effect on our growth and our healing. Now, I just want to say that, you know, for anybody that's listening, some of us have beliefs in one sort of system of spirituality or another. But what we have in common is that we are believers in God. That's pretty much it. And, you know, there are people from all over the world that have different kinds of faith systems who I have no problem with. You know, and I don't have a problem with people who can't wrap their head around the concept of God, or who are agnostic. They can't tell one way or the other. This is not an impediment to moving ahead in your recovery. And I don't want anybody that's out there and hearing a show like this to think, well, I can't make it because I can't believe in God. And sometimes you got to remember, some of us came to a belief in God in our recovery through an educational process. We didn't we weren't necessarily this way at first. The point is that recovery and healing is available to everybody, no matter who they are, what sex they are, where they're from, what ethnic background, what social group they're from, and, of course, whatever religious group they're from. It doesn't matter. It is available to everybody. So that would be my comment.
I do want to add to that. I do want to add to that. I'm so grateful that Brother Bill brought that up. And I just want to add that he is absolutely correct. I want people to know that's listening and in the chat room that I don't want you to think that this is a religious show or that you have to believe in God to be part of this. You don't. You come as you are. We are here to love on you. And in case anyone don't know, before I became a believer of the Lord, I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God. I need to put that out there because I felt like if he was such a loving God, why did he allow this to happen to me? And I don't want to open up another can of another topic because that's going to be a whole big thing and we only got a half an hour left. But I'm just saying that, you know, for me, yes, I serve the Lord. But if you don't have an understanding of God, that's okay because I didn't have an understanding from the beginning, you know. But it's okay. I will say this. He has an understanding of you. Even if you don't know him, he knows you. Even if you don't love him, it doesn't matter. He loves you, okay? So just know that we love you regardless of who you believe in. I had met someone to say that, you know, they held on to a tree because that tree kept them. I said, well, if that tree keep you, then hold on to that tree. That's what I said to them.
There you go.
If that's what's keeping you, I went into a room, Narcotics Anonymous, and they said, the tree kept me clean. I said, well, if that tree keeping you clean, then you can hold on to that tree.
I have a God of my own understanding. I have a God of my own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe my God is so great and big, creator of everything, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before Bibles, books, and translations, or books, Bibles, and translations.
Yeah, because I don't want it to sound like a religious talk. Someone said to me,
"Oh yeah, yeah."
Well, you know, God has many names. Yes, He does. I mean, people call Him a different name, but we all have the same concept. They believe that He is a God of all creation, and that's it. That's all. That's all that matters. I just wanted to put that out there. So thank you, Brother Bill, for bringing that up. I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
That was very important. So.
I think that's go ahead.
Okay, I know some that probably are hearing this. They're probably down and downtrodden, and you think that you might be a mistake, but you're not a mistake.
That's
you are loved. You are loved. You're here. You are loved. We're sorry the things that happened to you, and it's not your fault. You are not a bad person. This what happened to you. It was an adult's responsibility to take care of you. I'm so sorry that this happened to you, but we're here for you. If you ever want to get on here and call and talk, we're here for you.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say that.
And I want to say, too, that she is one of our ambassadors, okay? She's from Tennessee. And if there's people out there who want to learn more, you know, about our show and learn more about some of the things that she's even speaking about, because one of the things that an ambassador has to have is a good ear, okay? That's number one. And then, yes. You teach them all about the website so that they can, and you have to know all about the website, the ambassadors, so that, you know, that you can, so they can find help themselves too. And they can, there's a lot of articles on there that they can learn from. I want to bring something up here. It's called Loving the Wounded Child Within. Now, we speak about the child within, okay, so often, okay. And so because of this, I want to bring it up, and it's by, there's a book written by Robert Burney, that's B-U-R-N-E-Y, okay, Robert Burney, and there's a comma, M-A, okay, after that. And he says, it is through having the courage and willingness to revisit the emotional dark night of the soul that was our childhood that we can start to understand on a gut level why we have lived our lives as we have. You see, we don't have all the answers, but you see, the child within, and the child within is the one that has to be nurtured. And as we and people out there who are listening to what I'm saying here, you know, I'll give you an example of the child within. Okay, say you're a kid and you're getting smacked. Okay, you're getting hit in the head, you're getting smacked, and all this other stuff. And, of course, you're going to cry. And like with Michelle and I, if we cried, or some of us, many of us, you get smacked some more for crying, for God's sake. That's how they handled it, all right? These people are very wrong. It was never our fault, okay? And that little child within us continues to cry even when we stop. And we have that memory. We have that memory of that moment when that was happening, okay? So I suggest that everybody get the book by Robert Burney, Burney. Who's breathing heavy in the phone again?
Not me this time. It's not me.
Okay.
Not far away.
But I hear it.
You know, but what Robert Burney? Yeah, I don't want a pervert out there going ha ha in the phone. I have such a nutty kind of sense of humor. I do have this. God gave it to me. That's where it came from. But anyway. But anyway, the point is this: if you want to learn about the child within and what that means exactly, and how we can work with this book that will help us work with ourselves. Again, it's called Loving the Wounded Child Within by Robert Burney. Now, I had been on. You got that?
Huh?
Oh, okay. I just want to say. I have to say this. Before I was on our show here, I've been on the show for 11 years now. I was on another show for a couple of years. And this came from someone who also became a NASCA member. And so this is her information. This is from Lori. So, Lori, if you're listening, I don't know, you're up in Canada. I don't know if you're listening right now. But when I use some of her information, I do mention it's Lori Smith. Okay, because I was on her show first. So I read this book, The Loving the Wounded Child Within, and I thought it was great. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I heard of that book before. I heard of it.
Yes. And I speak about it every once in a while because sometimes we have other guests that bring up, the child within, and then we have our own people, speak about the child within because they've heard about it. But they don't quite understand it. So this is a book that'll help you understand. And Lori would speak from it. Yeah, go ahead.
Did y'all ever hear about the book Courage to Heal, and that it's got a workbook with it too, you can get a workbook too? Workbook, but I need the other book because I got the question part of it, but not the other part to work along with it.
I think we had someone on not too long ago that was had done a workbook. I'm going to have to look that up. And
one of the ladies, and another one recently did a coloring book too.
Mhm. Well, I have to look them up and get a little bit more in touch with the ones that have the workbooks. I think workbooks are very good. It is tools. It gives you something, to work with to help guide you if you have questions and to maybe get a better insight of yourself,
I think that's very
important. One of our recent guests who's been on many times, Dr. Jaime Romo, has one. And if you look at, I believe it's Monday night's show, there's a link to it in last Monday's show, 3 days ago. Again, Jaime Romo, and it's I've been told that's a really good one. It's a book and a workbook, so it's exactly what you're asking about.
Yeah, there you go, right there. So remember that name and look it up. You don't have a scan number on that, do you, Bill, in front of you? Probably not. I don't, certainly.
What's the name of it again?
Oh, I can get it. I can get it. Hold on. Go ahead and talk.
Yeah.
I'll get it.
Okay.
So you can go to NASCA.org, and
mm-hmm.
You'll see the list of the people that's on there, and you'll see that Rumo name, and you and right beside mm-hmm. it will have the name of the book or the link or whatever.
Okay, there you go.
This week, it will go away soon, so, you know.
Okay. So there you go. There's your answer right there. Go to NASCA.org, and there's a link. That you can look, you look up the person's name, and there's a link to their book right there. That's what she said. So. And Bill's looking
okay,
up the scan number,
too. I do see the show number name, right? One mm-hmm. number? The show number?
Yes, please. Yes.
Let me... I just lost it. I do. Here we go. It's the show from last Monday, which was the last day of August, the 31st. And Dr. Jaime Romo, the workbook is Healing the Sexually Abused Heart, a workbook for survivors, thrivers, and supporters. Again, it's episode 2476, but he's on every month, and we always refer to his book each time. So that's why I was very familiar with Jaime's work. Dr. Jaime Romo from San Diego, Healing the Sexually Abused Heart, a workbook for survivors, mm-hmm. thrivers, and supporters.
There you go.
That sounds like a good book.
Yeah. So now people out there have something, you know, they have two. They have the one that I just mentioned, and then also this is more present because he's on our show. He's on our show once a month. So if you want to learn more about the child within, I'm sure he covers that and all the other things that you're dealing with. For God's sake, call in and ask him, okay? He's a doctor. So that's good.
Yeah, that would be good, yeah. That book you just mentioned, the one you were talking about, it just reminded mm-hmm. me of when I was talking about how you know, when you start having dreams about your child abuse or flashbacks, or even if you awake and you start thinking about it, and how
mm-hmm.
you think, you know, when you think about yourself when you were a little kid, you know, I just started thinking about that, and like how you just look at yourself now as an adult. And how you
right.
save yourself, how you can protect that little kid from within. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And we have to learn how to truly love ourselves today, you know, as we are, and understand.
Yeah.
It says here it was when we would start understanding the cause and effect relationship between what happened to the child that we were and the effect it had on the adult we became, that we can truly start to forgive ourselves and others. There's times that we have to forgive ourselves. We don't like looking at it, but it's true. And but mostly, you know, it was never our fault. That we do know, ever. And, you know, the kids that react and do things out on the streets or whatever they're doing, I mean, I was there. I understand this. Michelle, you were there also.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can look back at the things that I did, and there were times that I didn't have to do that, you know. And so I had to learn how to say, hey, Carol, okay, it wasn't all right, but I understand that, okay. You had no boundaries. You had nothing. And so, therefore, this was a reaction. You know, many times it's a reaction. Because as children, we don't know how to make right choices.
No,
and hopefully,
but you know what?
Go ahead.
Keep in mind now for me, and I'm sure for others, you know, I
mm-hmm.
was told that it was my fault though for some things, and me as a kid didn't know it, but I believed it that it was my
mm-hmm.
fault. It was crazy, but I was told that in a
mm-hmm.
sick way that the pervert
mm-hmm.
that was abusing me. Said it was my fault that this was happening. And I believe
mm-hmm. See, that's,
believe.
You know, Michelle, I never, ever, ever felt that it was my fault. I just felt dirty and I felt unloved. And I was running around like a little wild Indian because I had no boundaries. And believe me, these feet, they went everywhere. All right. So, you know. I knew, because you know what I would do? I would look at other families that we would consider to be normal, okay, the normies, as we call it, and I would see how they were attended to by their parents, and I would see how they were dressed. I would see how, you know, the things that they did. They went on vacations. They did this. They did that. They were a family. They were a family unit, okay, and there was love. You could see it. And I remember standing back as a child and watching this. So I knew what normal was supposed to be. And I knew that I wasn't getting it. And it wasn't my fault. I started looking at the people that were in my family as being just plain sicko psychos. I like to say that word, sicko psychos. So I felt dirty. That was me. I felt dirty. Yeah.
I would like to know that for us, some of the pedophiles are so manipulating, and they can just twist words, and some of them will look for weaknesses and look for when they seek out victims. Especially, a lot of calls I have got in was from women that when they meet men, you know, they single, they meet men. Perverts, I mean, pedophiles look for single women with kids.
Oh,
and
yeah.
First, they pursue and seek out the weaknesses of a single woman, parent. And, you know, and if she's needy or is seeking love, and so they zoom in on that. But they zoom in on that because they come in right into a nest of children that they can feast on. And then they look for the weaknesses of the children. It's just sick. It's just sick. It's just sick. It's just sick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely.
But, you know, child abuse has risen. And then what about the high rise of what is not being told right now?
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. Or what is not being told right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been praying more so for the unknown, and also for the known, but more for the unknown. Because we don't
Michelle,
know.
There's so many kids that are being abused right now as we're speaking.
Yes, Lord.
And, you know, I just hope that I try to teach people when I you know, go out and speak, what signs to look for and why it's our responsibility as society to say something, to make a phone call and hope that phone call, you know, helps, okay? But at least do your part. Do your part, okay?
Hey, because, I got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, like, how long is this show? It's like an hour and 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
This time frame about, how, you know, just the average, what they had reported, how many kids have been or abused so many minutes, you know? What was those statistics? Do any of y'all know?
They have statistics, but we're not sure they're right. But I do know that every 10 seconds, now you might think this is a good thing, every 10 seconds a phone call is made to, you know, because a child is possibly being abused. They're not sure 100%, but they think they see something, all right? Now, a person, you might think that that's wonderful, and it is. Don't get me wrong, okay? But the problem is either the whoever they call don't follow through, or we need actually people calling. Even every 10 seconds is not even good enough because their children being abused all the time. Okay, all the time. And too
and
many people.
Unreported. And it's unreported most of the time.
And it's unreported.
No, exactly.
And the
exactly.
kid is too afraid to tell.
It's horrifying. That's what it is.
It
and now with this pandemic, because kids are stuck in the house. Think about it. My abuse, a lot of it came from in the home and outside also. It started when I was 6 and ended when I was 17, all right?
Yeah,
inside and out. So, and I'm not alone. What the heck? There's so many people like all of us on this show. There's so many people out there.
There was this, they have found about 3 or 4 kids or at one time, another time they found one kid that was all home alone, and they've been there by themselves for days without any food in the refrigerator. They did not give them any food, just the dog food that was around and stuff.
Yep,
they had beer in the fridge, but they didn't have drinks for them. The kids couldn't wash their clothes okay and everything, so everything was in filth.
Yep.
The parents were caught in another state then, you know, before they got for the. Luckily, somebody had said, them kids look like they're home. They had a pet pig living in a house as well.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And well, so, you know, that's.
Jesus.
That's not uncommon. I hate to say this. We can think of the most disgusting, most horrific things. Some years ago on the show, we found out, I think it was through articles, but we found out that there was a little boy in a cage that was living on the property of the house that he lived, but it was up in a hill. And, oh, my God. No, and the kids in the family knew he was living in that cage, but they were so scared to death of the father that they wouldn't do anything. They'd throw food at him. He was being sexually abused, and he was being totally neglected. And, of course, then he died. He died in the cage. So, I mean, there's horrifying stories. The worst stories you can think of, unfortunately, happen.
Yesterday, I noticed, y'all ever heard of the child called it?
Yes.
I think that he's got an audio book out there for it. So now
powerful story.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some children.
Have you heard of that girl?
Huh?
I never heard of it. I can't hear. I'm starting to break up. I think my phone's starting to die. Bill, just letting you know.
All right. So you guys are you're kind of talking on top of each other, and that's part of the problem. You have to wait till the other person finishes. But I want you to know that we're nearly at the end of the show anyhow. Just a little more than 5 minutes left. So you want to start wrapping up your thoughts for the three of you.
Okay. Well, Michelle, we always leave, you know, the person, you're the co-host tonight, and you're our special guest co-host. So maybe you have something you'd like to leave the people with, okay, a thought, whatever, to give them hope.
Yeah, here's a thought. So it's quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, for all the ones who are listening and who's in the chat room, if you just know that you're not alone, and if you need someone to talk to, please come on our website, and there is a list of names. And with the emails and phone numbers, I am Minister Michelle Bless. You know, I'm one of the names on that list. Feel free to call me anytime. If you can't reach me, please leave me a text. I will immediately answer the text, and I will return your call. I have two scriptures I would like to leave. One is Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and Psalms 91. I normally will read them, but I would like for you to do the work and go to the Bible and look it up. Again, it is Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and Psalms 91. And know that I love you, and I will keep everyone in prayer. And thanks for being here, and thank you, Carol and Brother Bill and all my sisters here. Thank you for allowing me to be here and be on the show. And God bless.
God bless. And we're always thankful that you're here. You know, Michelle, we all get along so well.
we always
have a good show. Yes, we do. And we have a really good show every time that you're on. And, you know, people out there, feel free to call in because – Yes, it isn't all about religion. It's all about real life religion, and it's all about real life, period. And you're never alone. We're here to support you in every way that you need. And I have to wrap the show up. I don't have the studio in front of me. It feels so weird.
All right, but I can tell you that you do have time to give 1 minute each to Darlene and
and
to Roberta.
Okay. Darlene, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted people to know, like Michelle said, you're not alone, that you are wanted, you are loved. You can go to the Masker site, like she told you, and you can look up my number as well, Darlene Clark, call me anytime. And just know that you can come back and watch any of the recordings that's been recorded for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find something that you might understand with. And God bless.
God bless. Thank you. Roberta, do you have something quickly to say, honey?
Oh, I just want to say, I just say to Michelle or the people or anything.
Anybody.
Anybody. Well, I'm glad I'm still alive, and I'm glad that the people that wanted me dead, or they wanted to torture me or mutilate and mangle me, and they wanted to come back and finish me off. Well, they didn't fulfill their duty. I just want to say I'm glad I'm here and I'm healing and I'm glad.
Well, we're glad too. We're
all
glad
right.
too.
And that leaves a minute for you too, Carol. Go ahead. 1 minute.
Okay. All right. I just want to thank everyone that showed tonight. We had a good show. And it felt very weird for me because I wasn't, I have no studio in front of me, but that's okay. We have our voices, and our voices are heard, okay? We are the voice for those who have no voice. So just remember that I don't ever feel funny that you can't talk on the phone. If you can talk on the phone, you can call into the show. But even if you just want to listen to your computer, like many people do, or if you do want to call in, don't feel funny about it. We've been through it all. We've seen it all. And as I always end by saying, we're still standing. So, and we're going to be still standing, okay, because we have been on our healing journey. And there's nothing out there that we don't know about, okay, when it comes to abuse. So feel free to call in anytime, Monday through Friday. Okay, we have all different shows, Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. People come on, they tell their stories, and I'm sure you'll see a lot of identification with that. Okay, I'm going to say good night, and I'm going to say God bless, and come back tomorrow night. We'll have another good show. All righty. Good night and God bless.
And I want to also say from the staff's perspective how appreciative we are that nice group of people congregated tonight to support Carol and Michelle, including Penelope and Roberta and even Darlene. Now, we're happy all of you were here. And we're happy for all the listeners that are out there, too. Please do join us anytime you can, 5 days a week at 8 o'clock Eastern, so 5 o'clock Pacific, for another edition of Stop Child Abuse Now. I'll sign off and play the music for Carol Levine. Carol is a regular host of our shows and the vice president of NASCA, and we're extremely grateful to her, of course, for all her participation. This is Bill Murray saying God bless you and the children of the world, and God bless adult survivors of child abuse.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was Talk Radio.